time we have God is Greater Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've kind of had an indirect sermon series happening. We looked at God is greater than man. And then we looked at God is greater than our own heart. And this morning I want us to look at this theme, God is greater than error, than error. 1 John chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says. We'll read it together. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come, and even now already is it in the world." Verse 4, notice what the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word together. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not only be hearers, but to be doers of your word. I pray, Lord, as we study this passage of scripture together, that you would give us, Lord, truth that we would follow. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts. I know there are many things that we can think about, but I pray that we would look upon you this morning. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground this morning, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. May you be glorified. May your word be glorified in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the passage of scripture that we have before us is probably a familiar passage of scripture. The passage of scripture, John is speaking of the spirit of Antichrist. And John reminds us that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Now remember this important truth about the Antichrist is that the Antichrist doesn't deny Christ, but claims to be Christ. And the idea of Antichrist is instead of Christ, or the spirit of instead of Christ. And this spirit began all the way back in our Bibles. As Bible students, we go back to the book of Genesis and we read about a man named Cain and his brother Abel. And we see right away the spirit of Antichrist. Cain wanted to come to God his own way. He offered God a sacrifice that wasn't what God instructed. God instructed a blood sacrifice, which was a picture of the Lamb of God who would crush the head of the serpent. But Cain had his own ideas. And the Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 14 that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Cain came his own way. It seemed right in his own eyes, but it wasn't God ordained. And the Bible says that Cain went his own way. You know, Frank Sinatra, in 1969, how many want to admit that they were alive in 1969? Frank Sinatra, in 1969, he wrote a song entitled, "My Way." And in the song, he declares, "I did it my way." And we find in this passage of scripture that Cain also did it his way. And many in our world today would follow the spirit of Antichrist when it comes to spiritual things, and they will go their own way. And John is teaching us about the very spirit of instead of Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And that expression there, "are gone out into the world," is the idea that they are already present in the world. They are already spreading lies. They were already busy doing their work. Many were being carried away in the spirit of error. Believers were falling prey to the latest fads in spiritual teaching. And so John says in verse 2 that we are to test or to try the Spirit. Now, I believe that this passage of Scripture here has an element of spiritual warfare that we as believers are engaged in. Spiritual beings, the unseen world, are trying to deceive. We know that Satan himself, the Bible says, is an angel of light, the one who would eventually deceive the world. And the devil has been busy trying to blind the minds of them that believe not the gospel. Many false religions in our world today, and we don't have time to go through it, but you take time and read about it, they have their origins with an angelic being giving a message to the world to reform Christianity, Mormonism, and Islam, to name a few. And it's sad to say that as people set out on a quest for knowledge, it normally leads them further away from God. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And so what is the answer? Well, John says, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, John doesn't leave us in the dark. He gives us the test. So John, what is this test to try the spirits? Well, he says here in verse 3, it's a question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? It's a statement here that speaks of the incarnation of Jesus, that God himself robed in human flesh dwelt among us. And ultimately, Jesus died for our sins. Who is Jesus Christ is the message or the question. It's the question that was asked of Martha and of Peter. John chapter 11, verse 26. Let me read it to you. The Bible says, Jesus speaking here to Martha after the death of her brother Lazarus, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha, verse 27, she saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Note for a moment the words of Peter. John chapter 6, verse 66. From the time many of his disciples, the disciples of Jesus, went back and walked no more with him, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now notice the words of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, Jesus is speaking of the formation of the church. And the Bible says in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so we understand from what the Bible says here that the work and the position of Christ is revealed to us by God. Jesus is light given to a lost and dying world. And the invitation of the Bible and the invitation of God is to come to Christ for salvation. But here's the thing. The devil isn't just going to sit back and let people come to Jesus. The devil is fighting hard to confuse and to contaminate the minds of people so that they would eventually be conquered. As believers, we are in the care of Christ. And only what God allows the devil to do can the devil do to us. But the devil doesn't leave us alone, does he? He tries to keep us from running our race well for his glory. But within each of us, John says, there is a power that is available. This power is to defeat or to overcome the false teachers because we have overcome them, John says. And John declares that this thought here, this teaching, this instruction that's given to us by the Holy Spirit is to help us to thrive in the Christian life, to move forward in the Christian life. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, Jesus said. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 27, the Bible says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And so John writes to these little children, these believers in Christ. And I want to give to you this morning three overcoming truths. And these are not deep theological thoughts. They are simplistic in every way. But I believe here that John gives us three truths to help us to overcome error that is everywhere in our world today. The devil is busy trying to confuse. So what are those three truths? Well, number one, if you're taking notes with me this morning, would you write this? Real simple. Number one, you are accepted. You are accepted. Have you ever been a part of an event or a meeting that you just didn't feel like you belonged? Maybe it was a birthday party and it was filled with elite people or wealthy people or I don't know, people that, you know, you just didn't see eye to eye with, and you kind of felt uncomfortable because they cared about things you didn't care about and they talked about things you didn't understand, and you just didn't feel like you belonged. Or maybe you were a part of a meeting or a birthday party. Maybe it was filled with unsaved people. And as Christians, you know, you just didn't feel like you belonged there. You felt out of place. Now, John begins this passage of Scripture as he's talking about God is greater than error. That's the thought here. The false teachers, they're spreading error. But he's saying God is greater than all of that error because we have within us the Spirit of God. And he begins with this incredible truth. He says, ye are of God. I love that statement because, first of all, it separates us from the false teachers. Ye are of God, little children. You're not a part of that crowd. You belong to God. Now, why did they belong? Well, first of all, letter A, it's because of your faith. John acknowledged that these false teachers did not believe or preach in the deity of Jesus Christ. They may have accepted Jesus as a good teacher. They may have accepted him as a good leader, but they didn't accept him as the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. They had made claims of knowing God, but John makes it clear that this was the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says in 1 John, turn with me to this scripture here, 1 John chapter 2, turn back a page in your Bible, verse 22. Notice what John says here. Those who would claim that you could worship the Father outside of Jesus Christ, he says here in verse 22, John, 1 John chapter 2, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And there may be those who would say, well, we'll worship God. But friend, listen to me. I'm speaking on the authority of the Bible. If they deny Christ, they are not worshiping the true God. They are denying the Father and the Son. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that ye are of God. Ye are of God. They asked Jesus, his disciples asked Jesus, how can we approach the Father? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These were genuine believers. They were little children in Christ. They were ones like Peter and Martha that believed that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Now, to confess that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh involves more than just simply identifying Christ. We know that in Mark 1:24, the demons did that. But true confession involves personal faith in Christ and who he is and what he has done. That God sent his only begotten Son into this world, fully God and fully man. Jesus was born of a virgin and did not inherit a sinful nature, sinless, God's spotless lamb. And as God, he died in our stead, in our place. He paid our sin debt, freely offering himself as our substitute. And they had put their faith in the Savior, not in their works, not in their own merits. They didn't even trust in religion. I don't know if you've heard of the preacher George Whitefield. He was a British evangelist, and he was speaking to a man about his soul. And he asked the man this question. He says, "What do you believe?" And the man says, "Well, I believe what my church believes." And George Whitefield says, "Well, what does your church believe?" And the man says, "Well, we believe the same thing." And he says, "Well, what do you both believe?" And the man says, "Well, the same thing we both believe." So many people don't even know what they believe. And these believers did not trust in their religion or in their own merit or in their good works, but by faith they became born again. And by faith they were snatched from the devil's family and they were placed into the family of God. They were taken from darkness and placed into the light. And because of their faith, they belonged into God's family. And so we see, first of all, it's because of their faith, but also, letter B, because of your position. Because of your position. Now, why is this important? Because here John says that ye are of God. And the Bible teaches us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, we become, and don't miss this, a child of God. A child of God. Paul says this in Romans 8:10, that ye were enemies of God, but because of the work of Jesus, ye are now reconciled. You are made right with God. The Bible says it this way in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit within us gives witness that we belong to God. And the Bible says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Listen to me. Jesus died on that old Roman rugged cross, and all the victory that Jesus enjoyed that day when he died and he crushed the serpent's head, all of the spoils that he enjoyed today as his children, we get to enjoy. But we didn't do anything. I don't know if you're familiar with the story in the Old Testament of David's mighty men. How many are familiar with the story in the Old Testament of David's mighty men? Yeah, just a wonderful story. And these men, they were strong, they were mighty, and they loved their king. And there were three of them that are specific to the story of David for their devotion to the king. It was these three mighty men that, if you know the history of King David, that they broke through the garrison or a guard around Bethlehem, and they got a cup of water from the well of Bethlehem just because it was the desire of their king. I mean, these were fierce, they were mighty, but they were devoted and loyal to King David. And at one time, one of the mighty men, his name was Eleazar, got involved in a battle with the Philistines. And I want to read it to you. The Bible says this in 2 Samuel 23, verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, a Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David. And when they defiled the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to spoil. The Bible says that here comes the Philistines. They're going to do battle. And all of Israel, they flee. They run away. They take off. And this man, this mighty man, Eleazar, he stands his ground and he fights. I mean, he fights with all that he has. In fact, the Bible says that he fights so hard that when the battle is all done, he couldn't let go of his sword. It clave to his hand. I mean, he is giving it all that he has. And the Bible says that when the victory was won, the spoils of victory were given out, and all of Israel comes running back, all of the men of Israel come running back, and they are enjoying the spoils of this one man's battle. And by the way, that's a wonderful picture of what Christ has done for us. Because Christ won the victory that day. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he won the victory. He crushed the serpent's head. And the Bible teaches us that the spoils of victory are ours. We are no longer the enemy of God, but we are now a child of God. And we get to enjoy all that Christ has done. We belong to God. And this is what John is saying. He's saying, little children, you are of God. So we notice, first of all, we are accepted. Number two, would you write it down? We are assured. We are assured. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have overcome the false teachers in all of their lies. You've overcome the devil in all of his wiles. You are an overcomer. It's a life that's lived in confidence and faith. And the book of 1 John, by the way, it's a book about confidence. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired John to write this book, because he wants us to have confidence in our Christian life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so the Holy Spirit wants us to have confidence today. We're overcomers. We've overcome. And so we can have, first of all, letter A, confidence in our salvation. The idea to overcome them, the verb here is a past action with continuing results. Because of their faith in Christ, they have won the war. And they may not win all the battles, but I read the end of the book and we win. And that's what John is saying here. We can rejoice in the fact that we have overcome them. We have confidence in our salvation, but we also have confidence in our walk. The Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Be a confident Christian. Trust God. Live by faith. You know, it's possible for believers today to not walk in confidence in their spiritual life. Let me read you this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. This is speaking of Christians. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The writer of Hebrews wrote that believers really should be teachers, but in fact, they're just spiritual babes. They weren't confident in their walk. But John says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because you are accepted. You are assured. But let me give you my third point. I'll be done. You are assisted. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There are many times in our life where we feel like we're losing the race. We may feel like even this morning that we're losing the battle. But I want to remind you this morning that in Christ you belong to God. You are overcomers. You are victors today. And ultimately in Christ we are all victorious. Don't let the battle rage around you. And don't let the devil convince you that you're on the losing side, because you're on the winning side. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." We have a power within us, folks, that is greater than all of the power of the devil. Listen to me this morning. We have a power within us that is greater than all of the forces of the evil one. Greater than all of the lies of this world. As believers this morning, we have a power inside us that is greater than all of the forces of this world combined. And it's God's work in us. The Spirit of God to guide us and the Spirit of God to lead us. Because God is greater than this world. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." In John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer," Jesus said, "I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world." God is greater. God is greater, and his power abides in you. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 24, it speaks of eschatology, the study of the last time. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 24, "For these shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that," look at this, "if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, if it were possible." But why isn't it possible? "Because little children ye are of God and have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Paul says, "But we have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And so we are assisted. We have a power within us that's greater than the air of the world. It's greater than the forces of the devil. And this assistance is to help us, letter A, to follow God's will. The Christian life is lived by the very power of God. And it's God's power within us assists us to do his will, to please him. That's why the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." And the transformation is submitting to God's work within us. Paul experienced an incredible transformation in his life. And he said in Ephesians 3, verse 7, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power to bring me where I ought to be." That's what the hymn writer said. His power. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. It's to do the will of God, but also it's to finish our race. God wants us to finish our race. And God wants us to finish our race strong. He wants us to finish our race with joy. How is it possible? How is it possible for a Christian to finish their race strong? Think about all of the obstacles that are in your way right now as a Christian. How many Christians? How many preachers didn't finish well? Started well, but didn't end well. So many things out there to trip us up. Money and lust, position, laziness, greed, bitterness, false teachers. Paul said to the church of Galatia, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" But I'm here to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God and his power dwells within us so that we can do his will, and finish our race with joy for his glory. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then the writer of Hebrews in verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And I want you to know, Christian, today, that number one, you got to understand these simple truths. Number one, you're accepted. And number two, you are assured. But you're not living the Christian life alone. No, you're assisted. And you have everything you need to be successful in the Christian life today. You just got to rely on that power that's available to you to help you to be what you ought to be. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful.